Okay, Rav Moshe, I hope all is good. I hope everybody is feeling well. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Tes. We are still in the middle of the Ein Bein Mishnayos, and we have a lot more of that today. Yesterday, I think pretty much everybody agrees, is the hardest of the Dapim, not only in the Ein Beins, but probably in the entire Masechta. And today we have something a little bit more close to home. So let's hear the Mishnah on Ches Amabez. Ein Bein Sfarim Letzfilin Umezuzos. There is no difference between Sfarim, and that Rashi explains Tanakh, or Sifrei Tanakh, to Tefillin and Mezuzah, Ella, except where the only difference is, she has Sfarim nechtavim b'chol lashon, Tefillin and Mezuzah ina nechtavim ella ashuris. That Sfarim, that we're going to have to analyze and see exactly what this means, the Gemara is going to go back and forth and back and forth trying to figure out what this means, but at face value, it means that Sifrei Tanakh are allowed to be written in any language, and Tefillin and Mezuzah can only be written in ashuris. Ashuris is... one of the reasons it's a little bit confusing is Ashuris is basically, if you look at Rashi, the language that we know is written in a Sefer Torah today. Both the Ksav and the language, right, Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, right, is what we have nowadays in the Sefer Torah. We're going to see in a second, there's another language they're going to call Ivris, which is, I guess in the modern Hebrew would be Ivrit, but really it comes from the language of Ever Lanahar, right, across the river, meaning and means not necessarily the Hebrew that you and I know. So anyway, so Ashuris is the language that we use nowadays. And that's what the Mishnah says, that Tefillin and Mezuzahs have to be written in Ashuris, and the Sefer Tanakh can be written in any other language. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Af Pesfarim Lo Yitira Ela Sheyichtivu Ela Yivonis, that they only allowed, and when you talk about other languages, they only allowed Greek, and we'll see there's psukim to support that, and we're going to talk about the story of Ptolemy HaMelech, Ptolemy, the king in Egypt, who caused the Chachamim to translate the Torah into Greek. Okay, fine. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the only difference between Sfarim and Tefillin and Mezuzah, so then HaLatofra Megidin, right, to make sure that they're sewn with animal sinew, and to make them tameh, meaning that they're a legitimate piece of parchment, a legitimate piece of kedusha, right, we talked about 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. So in terms of that, why Sifrei Kodesh have kedusha, because they used to put food with it, we had truma with it, and the rats were getting to it, etc. So there were gozer that all this farm have kedusha. Okay, so meaning that zev zeh shavin, that both of them are equal. Right, the Gemara just darshens out that if that's the only difference according to the Mishnah, so then apparently they have that in common. Okay, v'sfarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. Or mini, hold on 1 second. You tell me you can write all these different Sifrei Tanakh in any language. The Brisa says the Mikra Shekasru Targum, a Targum Shekasru Mikra. If you wrote Mikra, which is part of the regular text, let's say of let's say the Chumash or whatever, if you wrote that as the Targum, as the Aramaic translation, or the other way around, you had some sort of Targum, some sort of Aramaic, or some sort of translation in the book in question, Shekasru Mikra, but you wrote the Hebrew equivalent. So in that scenario, or uksav ivri, or if you wrote the sefer in ivri ksav, which is not what's it called? As Rashi says, it's lashon ivri hanar. It's not exactly the Hebrew script that we're used to. So matam enu matam seyadayim, right? That is not going to be matam seyadayim. I.e., it's not considered a legit book or sefer. So Ashir Tivenu b'ksav Ashuris al sefer b'diyo, until you write it in Ashuris, which is Hebrew, which we know today, on parchment and in ink. So we see that what's it called? So we see that our Mishnah said that you can write it in any language, and here you tell me that you have to write it in Ashuris on parchment with diyo, with proper ink, and otherwise it's not mitamis yadayim. It's not considered a proper sefer. So Amar Rava says lokasha kan begufan shalanu kan begufan shalahen. Here, meaning the Mishnah is talking about in the scenario where you transliterate the language into Ashuris, into Hebrew. So you would, like, if you would write it in English, you would write, I don't know. So instead of Bereshis Bara, you would write in the beginning, but you'd write it as Aleph Yud Nun, in, I don't know how you do the, maybe Dalet Hey, duh, beginning, Beis Gimel Nun, etc., etc., etc. Meaning you would transliterate it into Ashuris. And that, according to this understanding, that would have, seemingly enough, shockingly enough, that would have kedusha, that in, as our Mishnah would write, states. Right? But in the Brisa, begufan shalahan, that's if you write it in proper, in actual English, right, or in Aramaic or whatever, so then that would be no good. So the Gemara says that can't be. That's ridiculous. Amalei Abai says, b'mayo kimta, right? How did you just say that the Brisa was set up? Begufan shalahan, that the Brisa is talking about a situation where you wrote it in the other language, let's say in English, right, just for argument's sake. So my area, mikra shekosu targum, and targum shekosu mikra. But if you remember, what was the example in the Brisa? The Brisa said, if you wrote the translation in mikra, or you've wrote in Hebrew, or if you wrote the actual text in translation, in targum. So the Gemara says, I feel the mikra shekosu mikra, targum shekosu targum nami. Well, if you're telling me that the whole situation is where you're writing the book in English, so it doesn't. Why does it matter if you wrote something that was supposed to be translated into Hebrew or something that was supposed to be in Hebrew in the translation? Right? Regardless, right? If you're writing it in English, right? The Ketani, because the mission that the Brisa says, you have to write it in Hebrew on parchment with an ink. So if that. Sorry. Just got caught in my throat. So it can't be the case in the Brisa is we wrote it in a different language, because then it wouldn't matter whether you switch the targum for the mikra or not. So rather, no. Let's change it around. And the Mishnah is the Rabbanan who say that you're allowed to write it in any other language. And the Brisa is Rishim Gamliel that we quoted at the end of the Mishnah, right? That says you're not allowed to write it in any other language. So like Gemara says very quickly, well, Rishim Gamliel, Ha'iki Yivanis. What do you mean? Rishim Gamliel doesn't say you have to only write it in Hebrew, like the Brisa says. He allows you also to write it in Greek. So Gemara says, you're right. El Elo Kasha, really, rather, how do you resolve the Brisa in the Mishnah? Kamba Svarim, Kamba Tefillin, Mezuzas. Really, the Mishnah is talking about Svarim. We're talking about, let's say, Nach, or whatever it is. So that, if you write in another language, it's fine. But if it's Tefillin and Mezuzah, so then, that's what the Brisa is talking about, and that has to be written in Hebrew, in Ashurus, etc. Tefillin and Mezuzah is my time, and why would that be? They be any different? Mishnah Dixib, Behu Vahayu. Because the puzzle says, Vahayu, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Nach, etc. You need the word Vahayu. Meaning, and when we darshan out, whenever the Gemara says, the Pasuk says the word Hayu, we learn, Behev Yasim Yehu, they have to be as they are. I mean, you can't change them at all. So therefore, that's why you have to write the Tefillin and Mezuzah in Hebrew on parchment and ink. So the Gemara says, that's very nice, but my Targum Shekosu Mikra Ika. Wait, if that's the case, if we're talking about Tefillin and Mezuzahs, so Tefillin and Mezuzahs are very small, and they're very set, limited items that you write in it. Where do you find translation in those things? Meaning, where do you find, let's say, Aramaic or a non-Hebrew language in the parshas of Vayah and Shemoah, Vayah Kiviach, etc.? Like, it's only four parshas, right, in Tefillin, and certainly Mezuzahs, right, on just a couple parshas of Kriya Shema. So you don't have any of that Targum Shekasru Mikra. You don't have that case. It's a Bishlam Torah. I understand if you're talking about a Sefer Torah. So Ika Yigar Sa'adusa. You have the words Yigar Sa'adusa, which is what Lavan called the stone that he and Yaakov set up between the two of them as a treaty. So that's Aramaic. So if you write that in Hebrew, so that would be a problem. But Elohacha, my Targum Ika. So, but in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, you don't have any Aramaic. You don't have any translation. You don't have any Targum in there. So the Brisa can't be talking about Tefillin and Mezuzah, because you don't have a scenario where the Brisa itself says, if you wrote the Targum as Mikra, it's no good. There is no Targum. So Ela Lokasha, Kama Megillah, Kama Svarim. So no, there must be that the Mishnah is talking about Tanakh, and the Brisa is talking about Megillah. The Megillah has to be written specifically in Hebrew, and if you wrote the translation in Hebrew, or you wrote the Hebrew in a translation, then it's no good. But in Sfarim and Tanakh, then it is good. So Gemara says, Megillah my time. Why does the Megillah have to be written specifically as is? Dechtiv ba, because the Pasuk says, Kichsavan v'chil shona, that you have to write them, right, as written and in the proper language. So my Targum Shekosu Mikra Ika. So what type of words in the Megillah are translation? Papa says, there are two possibilities. Either, V'nishma Pisgam HaMelech, the word Pisgam is a decree. So that people hear about the decree of the king. So that is apparently written in translation in Aramaic or perhaps Persian or whatever. Rav Nachman bar Yisro kamar v'chol nashim yitnu yikar lebaleihen. That yikar means that the beginning of the Megillah, right? Haman decreed that everybody needs to, well, really, Achashverosh decreed, but based on, whatever. Anyway, Achashverosh decreed that everybody has to give yikar, which is kavod, the women have to give kavod to their husbands. So the word yikar is I guess, Persian or Aramaic or whatever, so that would be targum. If you wrote that as mikra, if you inserted the word kavod instead of yikar, so then the Megillah will be posel according to the Brisa. I always wondered there are plenty of other words in the Megillah that I thought they would mention. The Gemara doesn't mention them. Or Parshandasa, that's one of the names of Haman. Achashtar Pnei HaMelech, I thought for sure that would be one of them, but okay. which our parshan does is one of Haman's sons. It's not Aramaic. Okay. Anyway, Rav Ashi gives another answer to kind of fix the Braisa and the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar Kitanya Hibishar Svarim. When he says in terms of the Braisa is talking about Nach, not a Sefer Torah. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, it's actually Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, as Rabbi Yehuda said, Svarim Zuzus Enich Tamen Ela Shuris. And that Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa says, no, sorry, that Tefillin and Mezuzah can only be written in Hebrew. Right? Rabbi Seinu Hitru Itiru Yevanis. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, right, allows sorry, as you can tell, I'm at the tail end of a pretty serious week and a half of coughing, not Corona, Baruch Hashem, but it's been I got to go back to the doctor to check out to make sure that that's not, I don't know, some sort of like pneumonia or whatever. I'm feeling fine. It just the coughing keeps on coming. Anyway, sorry. It doesn't work out so well with someone whose profession is to speak for a living. Okay, either way. So the Braisa says that, again, right, meaning that, according to Rav Ashi, right, the Braisa that says you have to write Hebrew is referring to Nach, and it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because the Tanya is another different Braisa, that Tefillin Mezuzah has to be obviously written in Hebrew. Then the Braisa said that Rabbi Sinai, Tiru Yivanis, and Rishim Gamliel allows Greek. The Gemara says, "Aye, what do you mean about it? Because the Yehud, the Hayud, and we learn the pasuk that says that Tefillin and Mezuzah have to be specific. El Ema, no, really, what we meant to say was Svarim Nechtavim B'Chaloshon, that the Nach can be in any language, but Rabbi Seinu Hitir Yevanis. Not that the Braisa was talking about Tefillin and Mezuzah, but was talking about other Nach, and Nach can be written in any language, and the Chachamim allowed Yevanis. The Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense, but Hitir Mechal the Tanakama Aser. Well, if you're telling me that the second part of the Braisa says that Rabbi Osinu Hitiru Yevanis, then implies the Tanakhama says it's usher to write it in Greek, right? But the Tanakhama just said that you can do Tanakh in any language. So Ela Ema, really what we meant to say, according to Rav Ashi, is Rabbi Osinu Lo Hitiru Sheikhtivu El Yevanis, meaning Chachamim only allowed Greek, as opposed to every other language. Vetanya, and here's the point that we're trying to make, that it's really Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afkashi tiri Rabbi Zinu Yevanis lo tiri ela b'sefer Torah umushemaisa the Talmi Amelech." Really, Greek is only not allowed in Nach, but it's only allowed in Sefer Torah because of the whole story of Talmi Amelech. The Tanya learned the Braisa. Maisi b'Talmi Amelech shekinis shivim u'shtaim zekeinim v'chnisim v'shivim u'shtaim batim. Right, he gathered 72 chachamim. Right, Pashtus is in the Sanhedrin, or at least numbers corresponding to the Sanhedrin. Although Sanhedrin could have been okay, maybe not. Okay, love Dafka. Anyway, he gathered 72 chachamim, put them in 72 separate houses. And he didn't tell each one of them why he kind of kidnapped them and put them in a house by themselves. And he went into each one of them, right? Slagai Ptolemy Amalek, right? Spelled in English P-T-O-L-M-Y, I think. But either way, the P is silent. Anyway, so he went into each one of them, and he said to them, "Kisru Luteres Moshe Rabchem, write for me in Greek," right? Because he was Greek, even though he conquered Egypt, right? He was Greek. "Is it write for me the Torah of Moshe, your teacher?" Meaning, into Greek. Now, the Chachamim were nervous that if he read specific portions of the Torah, right, he would either get very offended, as we'll see in a second, or he wouldn't accept their explanations. Right? We understand that certain things in the Torah are, right, explained by Chazal, and we understand what they mean. But if they, right, if the Torah says, for example, as we'll see in a second, "Na'ase Adam," let us make man. So Tolmei HaMelech would be like, it says in your Torah that God, there are many gods. Right? Okay, we understand that God went to the angels and consulted them. Okay, wonderful. But he's not going to accept that. So Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu believe Kol Echad Ve'Echad Itza. And Kadosh Baruch Hu put in the hearts of each one of them, right, some advice, V'Hiskimu Kulam L'Das Achas. And they all ended up with the same fascinating, they all ended up with the same translation, with the same following changes. V'Kasru Lo, and they wrote for him, Elokim Bara Bereishis. Not Bereishis, Bara Elokim, because that sounds like Bereishis created God. But God created Bereishis, meaning God created in the beginning. Es Adam, as I just mentioned, instead of Nase Adam in the plural, but Es Adam, but tell him, Uvedimus, let me make man in my image instead of our image. Vayichal b'yom ha'shishi v'yisbos b'yom ha'shvi, that Kadosh Baruch Hu finished creating on the sixth day and then rested on the seventh day, instead of that he finished on the seventh day, because he would argue, oh, see, the seventh not really a day of rest, etc. Zachar nekeva b'ra'o, instead of b'ra'am, right, v'lokos b'ra'am, instead of the pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu created man, but b'ra'am created them, implying that it was plural. So here he said that the b'ra'o, Hashem created him, meaning man is singular. Ahava Erida, that's by the Migdal Bavel. Instead of Hava Nerida, let us go down. Hava Erida ve'ev l'sham svasam, that's in the singular, referring to God, instead of Nerida in the plural. Vatitzchak Sarah bekroveha, that Sarah laughed in her, with her, amongst her relatives, instead of bekirba, instead of inside of her, because if you remember, Avram actually laughs the previous Parsha, in Parsha Lech Lecha, Sarah laughs at the beginning of Vayera, because Baruch Hu is upset at Sarah, told me apparently he was, Baruch Hashem a feminist, and it would have been like, why did God punish Sarah and not Avram, if they both laughed? Okay, we understand the pshat is that Avram laughed not from disbelief, but from excitement, from Simcha, and Sarah laughed from disbelief, that's what Chazal explained. Okay, fine. But Tolmi would not have accepted that, so they changed it. That's talking about Shimon and Levi, that when they killed the city of Shechem, so they changed it to show that they really, it's as if they killed animals instead of killing people, because that would be, explaining that people of Shechem were Chayav Misa, and kind of downplaying their murders. This week's Parsha, instead of Vayikivim al Chamor, right, that they rode him on the donkey, rather he had a no Sepene Adam, he had a camel or whatever, right, to show that Moshe had some sort of kavod, right, to upplay, I guess, not downplay, but upplay, whatever the verse of downplay is, Moshe's kavod. There the Pasuk says that Moshe, that Bnei Yisrael spent 430 years in Mitzrayim. It's not really true. That counts as from the beginning of Yitzchak. They added the words Vushar Aratos in other lands. That's by Har Sinai, when Kosh Baruch Hu says, the Pasuk says that Vayilidei and Atzilei Bnei Yisrael, referring to young covetic people, that went out to greet Kosh Baruch Hu by Har Sinai, so we didn't want to say that, oh, you send out just youth and not honorable people to see your God, so they wrote Zatute, which is like officers or whatever. Lo Chemed Echad Mehem Nasazi, that's Moshe talking about, really the public says, Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nasazi, that I didn't take any donkeys from you, and Moshe, he said, what the pshat is that Moshe is playing to Bnei Israel, I served you and I never took anything from you, so he uses an example of a donkey, but they didn't want Tolmi to be like, I see he didn't take any donkeys, but he must have taken a lot of other stuff. So they said, Loch Chemed, which is an object that, right, like Loch Sachmod, an object that is desired. Okay, he didn't take anything from you. That's a pasuk that talks about the stars and the sun and the moon. Pasuk says, Asher Chalak Elokecha Osam Lechol Ha'amim. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu has given them to all the nations, right? Takos Hashemayim, under the skies, right? That seems to imply that Hakadosh Baruch Hu lets the other nations worship the sun and the moon. So they changed it so that it doesn't imply like that. Excuse me. Vayelech vayevor elokim lacharim shelo tzivisi lovdom. The pasuk says that you went and you worshipped other gods that God did not command them to serve. Meaning that's also and when Bnei Yisrael went to so they shouldn't. The pasuk says Asher lo tzivisi, I think Osam or something like that. Asher lo tzivisi. Okay, it's meaning that they didn't want to imply that again that there were other gods that Bnei Yisrael could have gone to, but okay. And then v'kosvu lo esat siras ha'reglaim lo kosvu lo saraneves. Now Saraneves is one of the impure animals, right? Obviously, a rabbit is treif. But Tolmi's Bnei Sheh Ishto Shal Tolmi Ar Neveshma. Yeah, it sounds a little violent, but it's really not so bad. Tolmi's wife was named Ar Nevet, so they didn't want to list Tolmi's wife as one of the non-kosher animals, so they changed it to the Tzires Reglaim, the animal that runs really fast. So Tolmi wouldn't say, oh, the Jews are making fun of me, they put the name of my wife in the Torah as one of the non-kosher animals. Obviously, he would get very upset by that. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, but Basfarim Lo Yitira Yishiyuchtivu El Yevanis. Why can you write other books of Nach in Greek. Sure enough, that's halacha. My time in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the reason? Because Amar Kar, the pasuk says, "Yafta lukim liyefes v'yishkon ba'olei shem." Right, that's by Noach's blessing to his kids. Right, Dvarav shel Yefes, you be'ol Hashem. The words of Yefes, which is Greek, the forefathers of Greek, for ancestors, right, should be in the tents of shame. Obviously, shame is the ancestors of the Jews, right? And so, the tents of shame, that's referring to when we learn Torah. So the Greeks should, the words of Greek can be in the tents of shame in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Ve'imer Gomer Magog. Because the children of Yefes were Uvnei Yefes, Gomer, Magog, Umadai, Yavon, Vesuval. Right, Yavon is one of the children of Yefes. But what about why do we choose Greek specifically? It could have been Gomer, Magog, Madai, right, etc. So Amar Bechia Bar Abba, Hani Taima Dechtiv Yafta Lukim LeYefes. That's what it means when he says Yafta Lukim LeYefes. Yaf Yuso Shel Yefes Yubi Al LeShem. The beauty of Yefes, meaning if you look at Yavon. If you look at Rashi, I'm sorry, who lashon yavan lashon yafa mishal kol b'nei Yefes. That was the Greek. Apparently, was the most beautiful language. So the most beautiful thing that Yefes has pronounced produced. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. Has produced that should be in the tense of shame. Okay, fine. Mishnah, new Mishnah. Ein bein kar mishoch b'shemen mishkala meruva begadim elapar haba alkol hametzos. The only difference, now just to, I guess to back up for a second, there were two ways that Kohen Gadol could be anointed. Back in the day, originally, they used the shemen mishka, the anointing oil. When they lost that, right, as the generations went on and they lost the first Mishnah Mikdash, etc., so they would do what's called meruva begadim, which simply means they would get him dressed in the 8 big day Kohen Gadol, right, and that's how he would be appointed. So the only difference, says the Mishnah, between those two, the way they were appointed, right, these Kohanim Gedolim, is the parabol called Hamitzos. If you look at Rashi, right, Jesus explains what is that. If a Kohen Mashiach, if the Kohen Gadol, Shahore Heter Badar Shadon Karis, if he paskins that something is mutter and really it's usser and chayiv karis for it, the usser karis also, and they do according to his psak, so maybe par, he brings a korban. Right, that's this korban. So only the kohen who is anointed can do that, and not the kohen who is wearing all the clothing, who is anointed or appointed through the begadim. Says the Mishnah further, "Ain bein kohen mishamish the kohen she'avar ela par yom kippurim basir se'ifa." And there is, similarly, there's no difference between the kohen mishamish and kohen she'avar. The kohen mishamish is the kohen gadol, who's serving right now, and the kohen she'avar is the backup. Right, we learned, if you remember in Yuma, right, we talked about if the kohen gadol, let's say, becomes tamei or whatever, or his wife passes away, etc., so you need to replace him. So for a short amount of time, if it becomes a mum, if he gets an injury, if he has a mum, right? So if once the backup comes in, right? So then, right, he gets relegated after the starter comes back, to use a sports analogy. So the only difference between those two is that only the one who's mishamish, only the Kohen Gadol who's serving right now, can bring the parsha and the kippurim and the seir sa'ifa. Those are two korbanos that can only be brought one of them. One is the par, obviously the cow on Yom Kippur, and the seir seifa was a korban that the Kohen Gadol brought every single day. It can only be one of them. Okay, so Gemara says hal inyan par Yom Kippur and seir seifa is ever a shavim. But apparently, in terms of the par shel Yom Kippur and the seir seifa, meaning the two korbanos we mentioned at the end, so it's regardless. It doesn't matter how the Kohen Gadol was appointed, right? Either if he was anointed or if they put the clothing on him, both of them can bring this parsha Yom Kippurim and this Seir Se'ifa, the daily korban that the Kohen Gadol would bring. So the Gemara says, "Meslisa de lo Rabbi Meir," and apparently this is a getz Rabbi Meir. "Di Rabbi Meir, Raha Tanya, well, then Rabbi said that Merubah Begadim may be parabalakol." It's supposed to be Rabbi Meir that the Merubah Begadim, right, is allowed to bring this par habalakol mitzvos that we mentioned in the beginning, right? The first thing we said in the Mishnah was that's the only difference between a kohen who's anointed and a kohen who's dressed or appointed with the clothing, right? So the Mishnah said that only the one who's anointed can do that. Rabbi Meir says even the kohen gadol who's dressed with all the begadim can bring that as well. The Chachamim say that he cannot bring, and that's like our Mishnah. My time to Rabbi Meir. What's the logic? Rabbi Meir's logic. The Tanya, because the Brisa says, Mashiach, ainli ela Mashiach b'shemen amishka. Right, the pasuk says about a Mashiach, about a kohen who's anointed. So that's only anointed with oil. Merubah begadim minayin. How do you know that a merubah begadim is also legit a kohen gadol? The Talmud Omar, haMashiach, that the Mashiach, that even whatever, however you appoint the kohen gadol, and he's the one who can bring these korbanos. So the Gemara says, one second. So the Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir. The first part of the Mishnah, as we said, is not Rabbi Meir. So b'mayu kimna d'loka Rabbi Meir. That's how we set up the Mishnah. Problem is, ima seifa, the second part of the Mishnah, as we'll see, is Rabbi Meir. As the second part of the Mishnah says like this, ein bein kohen mishamish l'kohen z'sha'over el pari yom kippur v'asir se'ifa halachol divrayim zev z'shamin. But for other matters, all by the backup and the regular starter kohen gadol are equal. Asan Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. Titania is willing to rabbi. So irubo psul, if something happened to the kohen gadol, umino kohen achar taktov, and they brought in the backup, rishon chozul avodasu shini, kol mitzvah kuna gadol alav, the Rabbi Meir. When the first one comes back, the second one is a full-fledged kohen gadol. He can do anything the kohen gadol wants. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says no, that rishon chozul avodasu shini inu roi lagol kohen gadol v'lo kohen hedyot. Rabbi Yossi says that the starter comes back in the game, he's still the Kohen Gadol, and the backup is now neither. He's neither the Kohen Gadol, nor is he a regular Kohen. As we'll see in a second, why not? If I'm Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says, sure enough, Maisa Rabbi Yossi ben Ula Mitzipori, he was the Kohen Gadol, Shiru Bo Psul, the Kohen Gadol, well, he was the backup, actually. Then the Kohen Gadol got a Psul, and Rabbi Yossi bar Ula was the backup, Uminu Tachtov, and they appointed him as the Kohen Gadol, Ubo Maisa Lefne Chachamim, and they asked the Chachamim what to do after the starter came back. If Amru, when he said, Rishon Chozal Avodos, Sheini, Inu Roi Lo the Kohen Gadol, Lo the Kohen Hedyot. Wait, they said the starter can go back in. He's the starter. He's the Kohen Gadol. But the backup, Rabbi Yossi Bar Ulam, he's neither a Kohen Gadol or a regular Kohen. Why not? Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. Kohen Gadol because of jealousy. We don't want the Kohen Gadol, the real Kohen Gadol being upset, right, that he's getting stealing all his stuff. But Kohen Hadyot, he can't go back to be a regular Kohen. Is Mishum Malam Mekodesh Shol Meridim, because we have a concept that you only go higher in Kedusha and not lower. So the problem is, our Mishnah is Reisha Rabbanim and Sefer Rabbi Meir. Right, the first part of the Mishnah we said is not like Rabbi Meir. Second part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So what's going on over here? Is that really how it is? As Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, in. Yep, that's how it works. Sometimes you got nothing else to say. Reisha Rabbanim and Sefer Rabbi Meir. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, if I'm Rabbi Yossi, says, no, it's Rebbe. Really, this whole Mishnah is Rebbe's Shita. V'nasim la'ali with it tonight. Right? And he simply set it up like according to he held. Who he held like, right? If you look at Rashi, begadim suffer like a rabbanon. Right? He held in the first case. He held like the rabbanon, and the koin shavar in terms of the backup. He held like Rabbi Meir. Okay, fine. Let's do what's the one last Mishnah. Ain bein bama gadol l'bama katana. There's no difference between a big bama and a little bama. What's a big bama? So what's a bama? First of all, a bama is bama katana is a private mizbeach. Back in the day, right, there was a tkufa, there were several times in Jewish history where personal private backyard mizbeachs were allowed. Obviously, after the Beis Hamikdash was built, they were not. But beforehand, right, when they got the Mishkan into Eretz Yisrael, right, made a bunch of stops at Shiloh and Gibbo and Nov, etc. So there were certain amounts of time, there were times when people were allowed to build their own mizbeach. So that's a bama katana. A bama gadola is simply a reference to when the mizbeach from the Mishkan would rest, let's say in Shiloh or etc., like I said, in Nov or whatever, Gibbo. So that would be a reference to a bama gadola. So what's the difference between those different types of bamas, of mizbeachs? El Pesachim, right, the only difference is a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach has to be brought at the Bama Gadola, wherever, let's say, in Givon, let's say, wherever the Mishkan was set up. But everything else can be brought on a private, personal mizbeach. And we'll see in a second, that's not exactly true. But, okay, either way, Zeh Klal, this is the rule, Kol Shu Nidar V'Nidav V'Korban B'Bama, anything that is Nidar V'Nidav, if it's an optional, personal Korban that you want to bring, that can be brought on a Bama Katana, on a regular personal mizbeach. But if it's not of your brought of your own volition, but it's a chiyuv, so eno krav b'bama, you cannot bring it on a Bama Katana, on a private personal mizbeach. The Gemara says, one second, psachim sulo. What do you mean? The only difference. Excuse me, one second. Excuse me. So Psachim is Ulo. Really, Psachim is the only thing that's the difference between the two of them? Well, you just told me right at the end of the Mishnah says that if you have a korban that you need to bring, let's say like a chatos, you can't bring it on a private bama. But if the only thing you can, you know, only difference between the two of them is a korban Pesach, right? So where are you bringing that korban chatos or the korban asham or whatever the chiyuv, right, that you have to bring? So Kumar says, no, you're right. Really, what we meant was ke'im sochem, meaning like a korban Pesach. And if you look at Rashi, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, chovos hakavu lahem zman ksip sochem, any obligation that has a fixed time that needs to be brought on a bama gadol, on a big, on the mizbeach, let's say for example in Givon. So money, who she does this? Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon. Omer, as we learned the advice that Rabbi Shimon says, af tzibur lo ikrivu el psachim v'chovu shekavu lahem zman. Right, the tzibur brought on this big mizbeach in the Mishkan in Givon or Nova, whatever, a korban Pesach and a chiyuv that is shayach to every single day. So let's say the korban tamid, it has a fixed time, a korban tamid or shtei alechem, or that's not a great example, but whatever, any korban, let's say that you bring on Sukkot, fine, that would be brought. Aval chovu she'in kavu lahem zman. But if you have a chov, an obligation that doesn't have a fixed time, she says, like for example, a parhel and davishel tzibur, right, any type of korban that you have to bring. Right, but it doesn't say you have to. There's no chiyuv that to bring it in a certain amount of time. So then hachav hachav lo karav. Right, then they were neither ord brought on a personal bama or the bama in Givon and Nova, whatever in the Mishkan. Okay, fine. We're going to stop here. We'll go back to the Hanukkah Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.